This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. Hello again, we do want to welcome you back to Coffee with Zach and Russ. We thank you for joining us here today. Today we're continuing our lesson as we began last time, looking at remembering the Lord in the days of your youth. We've been focusing on the latter verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 up through chapter 12 and verse 1. And we're beginning today by looking at, and just to recap, last time we looked at how we needed spirituality in our youth. We talked about the importance of avoiding to avoid the harvest sown by wild oats. We talked about that from Galatians chapter 6. We also talked about how they are to the youth, that is, to gain wisdom that comes from spirituality. And we talked about some various points concerning that. And today we're going to begin and focus our time together looking at how we are to remove, when we remember the Lord in the days of our youth, it includes we are to remove sorrow and evil from our youth. And I'm going to read here Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 10. Here the Bible says, "Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity." And vanity, I think simply in this context at least, is the idea there is not that it's empty, but the idea there it's fleeting. It's not something that's going to be lasting for a long period of time. You know, I gave an illustration of the day when I was doing a devotional here, and I see, you know, I looked over at the youth and said, you know, I can remember being your age, and it doesn't seem like that long ago. And, you know, time just moves so fast. And like I said, I told them there, just like I tell Zach all the time, I'm going to sound like an old man when I say this. But I did, because it goes by fast. You know, when you're young, you think, oh, you know, I'd like to hurry up and get a driver's license. You know, I want to hurry up and do this, hurry up and do that. And before you know it, you know, your teenage years, your early 20s, they're gone. And we want to make sure that we realize that, you know, we're not going to stay young forever. So we need to be careful how we spend our youth. And I think about this idea of removing sorrow from your heart. I'm going to look at this for just a second, and I want to be quiet and let Zach say anything he'd like here. But sorrow deprives one, rather, of the joy they should have in their youth. And we touched on this last time, I think towards the end of our lesson, about how sometimes we can become depressed when we compare ourselves to others. And we want to try to be like everyone else, or we want to have, you know, certain clothing, certain hairstyle, we want to look a certain way. You know, girls may want to, you know, be a certain size, you know, and when they see the models and things such as that, which is interesting now, because now it's very well known and publicized that so many of those things, photos and things, are all photoshopped. And now they've kind of come out of the closet about it now. And the big deal now is no filter, right? Which is kind of ironic, but anyway, but there's a lot of sorrow that can come from can come up during our youth because of various things like that that we can allow them to influence us, and we have to be careful with that. Now I'm gonna stop there and let Zach add anything you'd like as we continue looking at this idea of removing sorrow and evil from your youth.
Yeah, to your point, there's enough sad things that happen in this life. There's no reason that you and I should want to add to them. And you think about so many situations, pressurized situations that youth sometimes will find themselves in. And, you know, we've got to find a way. And as, you know, adults and parents and grandparents, we have to show our children, we have to show our grandchildren the things that we can rely on. And, you know, we talk about removing sorrow from your heart. Well, you know, there's a verse that I think can help us when we think about these things. Look over in your New Testament at a passage found in Philippians chapter number 4, and specifically verse number 8. Because when we talk about removing sorrow from your heart, and here even a little bit, we're going to talk about removing evil from your flesh. Well, if we're going to remove those things, to me, it makes logical sense that we replace them with good things. You know, sometimes they call it the law of displacement. You get rid of this and you get rid of this by adding something to it. And we see that here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Find then, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things. You know, instead of the pressures that come with being you, with, you know, that come in the days of the youth, remember the Lord, remember his word, and focus on those things rather than the things that maybe companions wants you to deal with. You know, sometimes, and we're going to get into this a little bit later too, the company that we keep can cause us to focus on improper things. And so, you know, I try to tell my kids, because we homeschool now, but when we remove them from public school and we started homeschooling, then one of the biggest things that they struggled with at that time was leaving their friends behind. And I told them a little bit nicer than this, but I told them, you know, a lot of the friends that you have at the age that you are, sadly, they're not going to be your friends when you get older. I mean, I think back to when I was in school, even when I was in high school, there is nobody out of my high school class, nobody that I am still in contact with today. Now, part of that is because I've moved. But even when I lived in that town and I preached in that town, you know, I would see people that I went to school with, but it was not we just weren't friends like we were. Well, why? Different goals. And so, but I think this verse here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, to me, focus on those things, meditate on those things, and that helps, that can help remove sorrow from one's heart.
You know, that's exactly right. I think about that a lot, actually, how over the years, you know, how much time we spend sometimes. I think back to those high school days and things like that. And sometimes, not all the time, because sometimes I just flat out didn't care. But other times I wanted to try to impress people. And to be honest, I wasn't very good at it. You know, you wanted to be in whatever kind of crowd it was. And end of the day, to Zach's point, it really doesn't matter, because one, you're not going to probably see most of them anyway, again, after that anyway. And two, we are focusing on when we do that, we're focusing on impressing people who, not to be rude, their opinion of us really doesn't matter, to the point that if we're in the group or if they're not in the group, that doesn't matter. If they have an opinion of us, it should be something that is of a spiritual nature, not something that is, you know, oh, they hang out with us, you know, they wear the right clothes or whatever it may be, because none of that stuff matters. I'm sure even still today, I still don't, quote unquote, wear the right clothes, whatever those may be, but I don't really care. But as you look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, you know, and to Zach's point, when we remove things from our heart, from our lives, we need to fill it with something else. And like you mentioned there, all those good things, you know, all those noble, true, honest, all those kinds of things there that we should fill our lives with. And so when we think about this, removing sorrow from your heart and evil from your flesh, we want to make sure that we replace it with things that are going to be good and pleasing in the sight of God, and not just with some other form of wrong or sin. You know, and I have here in my notes here, enough sorrow comes without our help. Make sure that we do not make sure that what we do does not add to it through youthful judgments. You know, and I think about it this way, life is hard enough. We should do our very best not to make it harder than it has to be. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, he shoots himself in his foot, or he can't get out of his own way, that kind of thing. What we mean by that oftentimes, or I take it this way, is that, are the things we do in our life and that happened to us is because we've made poor decisions. And there's a whole host of reasons behind that sometimes, but the bottom line is we made poor choices. And so what do we have to do? We have to strive to make better decisions. And that's very, very difficult. It's more difficult than just talking about making good decisions. You know, it's taking steps to make sure we make those good decisions, do them every day until it becomes a part of who we are. You know, if we're struggling with things, whatever it may be, I mean, there's all kinds of things an individual can struggle with. But until we decide we want to do better, that we honestly and truly want to do better, then When we do that, then we can start making those changes in those habits. They're going to be ones that are lasting. And when we do that, we'll remove that sorrow and evil from our flesh. And I'm going to stop there before I was going to look here, Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to stop there and let Zach add anything else he'd like here.
Well, you know, I was, just thinking, you know, it's so important because, you know, just moving on to the idea you mentioned Proverbs chapter 1, you know, making sure that not only what we're focusing on is good things, but who we're surrounding ourselves with, man, that really matters. You know, the friends that we have as even adults matter. You know, I think about, well, a couple passages. We'll look at Proverbs chapter number 1 here in just a minute. But even thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, specifically verse number 33, be not conceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Well, that communication is, you know, even your companions, the dialogue that you have with your friends. And you think about what the Proverbs writer would write there in Proverbs chapter 1. You look there in verse number 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and as the whole of those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. And you move on down there to verse number 15. It says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. One of the things that we have to be aware of, one of the things that we have to make our youth aware of, our children or grandchildren, whatever the case may be, who they surround themselves with matter. They need to be picky about their friends. And I would encourage you to take it one step further, because, you know, a lot of times we're dealing with youth, we're dealing with teenagers. You know, here this summer, OABS is going to have this youth program, which I'm really excited for. And the primary focus is going to be on teenagers. And one of the things that I try to tell my girls, I have three girls, but I also try to tell the youth at the congregation there at Olathe is like, listen, when you get old enough and you start looking for a boyfriend, girlfriend type thing, and it starts, you know, getting serious to where you're eventually going to get old enough and you're going to be wanting a husband or a wife, I tell them, don't waste your time on someone that is not interested in God. Don't waste your time on someone that is not interested in spiritual matters, because who we're around matters. Why couple yourself to someone that's not interested in God? Why couple yourself to someone that's not interested in the church? Because as a friend, you're setting yourself up for failure, because they're going to influence you to do things that you should not do. And as a spouse, they're going to be able to hinder you and change the way you look at things. I think of a couple that I know. I won't say who they are, but one person is a member of the church, the other person is not. And when they were dating, the member of the church stopped attending worship services with the church and was attending worship services at this denomination so they could be pleasing to their spouse. Now, thankfully that they stopped doing that and they came back, but just how easily it is to be influenced by the people that were around, friends, and then ultimately, eventually, spouses.
You know, yeah, and you're right, because we have to be careful who we're spending our time with. Well, like you said, whether we're talking about friendships or those who are dating, because, like, you know, I think as Paul tells us, you know, evil companionships corrupts good habits or good morals, depending on what translation you're looking at there. And so we have to be careful with that. And it's not about You know, some people hear that and think, well, that's mean or whatever. No, it's not. It's, you know, it's not like you can't be friends with people who are not members of the church, but you still have to use wise judgment. You know, I mean, you think about it, how does one become a Christian? It takes a worldly person who becomes interested in Bible matters. And so we're not talking about that kind of person. We're talking about the person who has no interest whatsoever, like Zach was saying, you know, the person who is really just doesn't care about anything, but just doing whatever they want to do. And we don't want our children to be involved with those kinds of individuals. They have to be around them, of course, at different times because of school or whatever it may be. But we don't want to give them the okay to be with individuals who have no idea or no concern whatsoever for anything that's actually of eternal consequence. And so, and we go back here, and we're going to wrap up here for today, for just in just a moment. But if you look here in Proverbs chapter 1, 10 through 19, like Zach mentioned earlier, it talks about how the enticing there of the individual. And we want to make sure that we are not allowing ourselves to be enticed. And this goes for not only youth, but also for anyone of any age. There are those who we have to say, you know what, we probably won't say this to them. We think in our mind, you know what, I should reconsider at least how much time I'm spending with this person. Or maybe I should, you know what, maybe I should, you know, start spending time with other individuals and find new hobbies, because this person is really not helping me. They're only going to be encouragement to do things which are not pleasing the sight of God. And those are things we have to honestly consider. You know, if you look at Proverbs 5, 1 through 14, it talks about here that giving in, you know, some of the things that contribute to sorrow in our youth is the wrong companions, like in Proverbs 1, but also giving in to the temptations of the wicked, Proverbs 5, 1 through 14. And wrong companions and giving in to temptations, they go hand in hand. And that does not change. That's why you have to put that into our minds, and that principle into our minds when we are young, realize that who we are friends with matters. You hear people say, well, I can be friends with who I want to. You can, but they also can influence you to do all kinds of things that you normally would not do. And so we have to make sure we choose wisely. You know, childhood and youth are short. We shouldn't waste them on things that bring grief and sorrow into our life. And sometimes we're going to make mistakes. We're going to be involved in things we shouldn't. We get caught up in it, or whatever it may be. And we're going to learn, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to work to not do that again. I'm going to learn my lesson from that. And that goes for anyone of any age, but especially as our youth. We want to make sure that we help them understand the importance of making wise decisions concerning their friends, the actions of their friends, and not to be caught up in the idea that they have to have the approval of others. Because that's something that we do not need to waste our time on, no matter what our age may be. Now, I'm going to let Zach make any comments he'd like before we close out here today.
Yeah, I just want to say just really one thing as we close here, just really piggybacks off kind of what you were just saying right there. You know, so many times as youth, we're so concerned about what others think of us. And sometimes that even carries over to an adult. We care about, you know, what our coworkers think of us. We care about, you know, the boss or whatever the case may be. This is what I try to encourage people to do. Care about what God thinks about you. You know, because Jesus says that he knows his sheep in John chapter number 10. He knows who his sheep are. And then you think about there again in Matthew chapter 25, when he divides the goats from the sheep. And so we need to be, and I would like to encourage any youth that may listen to this, be more concerned with what God thinks of you than anybody else. Because in the end of time, when you stand before God on the day of judgment, those people that you may have been trying to impress, they won't be there. They won't be able to help you. You will be there before God. And so it is him that we need to be striving to please.
You know, and that's exactly right. I can't put it any better than what you said there. And we're going to pick up next time looking at some hopefully some final thoughts on this, looking at the importance of remembering the Lord in the days of our youth. We do hope you have been encouraged by this podcast. We do encourage you to join us again next time here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. I believe next time we'll actually have Brother Michael Bonner with us if our schedules and everything all goes to plan. And we do, of course, encourage you, as Brother Zach mentioned earlier, to go to OEBS and check out our youth summer development program we have there online. You can go into oebs.org, and there's a link to it right there on the front page. So we do thank you for being here with us today. We hope to see you again next time. We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting us at bywaymedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.